Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and if you missed that first hour today, you've got to catch it. Farming's on the decline. Asteroids are falling out of the sky. Cruise ships are stranded in the water with over 4,000 people. What is going on? What is going on? And NASA's saying that water will be the new oil. You got to catch that on the first hour today. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos. We'll be talking in this Extra Hour about drones that the U.S. now and the FAA is setting up test sites for drones to be used in America. We also be the U.S. citizenship test. We're moving right along and learning how to be citizens ourselves and be able to pass the test. And so much more, including the top three. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hi.
And John Ramos.
Hi.
Well, here we are. Here we are in the Extra Hour, man. It's just, it's amazing how quickly you think, you know, times are moving. But with asteroids coming out of the sky and oil being the water being the same price as oil and the same protection as oil coming up, and it's like, and we can make it about a lot without a lot of things, but making it without water, I mean, that's, I mean, you've got to change your priorities when water is an issue. People walk, you know, 20 miles to get good, clean water in some villages in the world. And we just been having it piped to our houses for years. I want to encourage you now, you know, partner with people who are bringing water to people in the world who have none. You know, go to James Robinson, you know, and partner with him. Go to Operation Blessing. Go to Samaritan Purse. And now, sow water in other people's lives, because they can put in one well in a particular village, and it will provide water for as long as that village is around. And Operation Blessing's not only providing a well, but they piped it into the houses in the village, where they took PVC pipe and they brought it into all the different houses because it was up on a hill. And it was able to, gravity was able to bring it down to them. So they actually had running water in their homes, and it just changed everything, you know. That's cool. If think about it now, now's a perfect time to think, you know, you may have never thought about this, but understand, if you give, it'll be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And whatever measure you use, it'll be measured unto you. And if you want love, sow love. If you want water, sow water. You know, sow water now and reap it. And there's plenty of opportunities. And it's just, it helps you also relate to, like, how exciting is that to provide water for a village? That's just exciting. And you don't have to buy the whole well. You can just, you know, I think something like $45 provides something, water for a family of 20 people or something in the village for life. Because it pays, what's that well set up? It just provides. But think now, and just think, the mercy and the grace and the love of God, and begin to move in the fruit of the Spirit across the globe, and how that you can bless others and include, don't forget your neighbors and the people right around in your own community and what's going on. And we thank those who stand with us at VFN Radio to be able to continue to bring this light and this message to the world.
And living water.
The living water, exactly, which helps us know about what's going to happen to the natural water.
That's right.
You know, God lets us know in that. John, drones, man. Drones.
Talk to us about these drones. I'm hearing drones all over the place. What's going on?
Well, you know, CBN News reports that the FAA, which is, you know, right, the Aviation Administration.
Federal, yeah.
That is one step closer to widespread drones over America. The U.S. military, this is what they said, the U.S. military relies heavily on drones overseas, but now the government is one step closer to using drone flights across the United States. The Federal Aviation Administration one of the 50 states, submit proposals to create 6 drone test sites around the country. Wow. This is what they say. Our focus is on maintaining and improving the safety and efficiency of the world's largest aviation system, says the Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood. This research will give us valuable information about how best to ensure the safe introduction of this advanced technology into our nation's skies. Possible users of the drones, they say, include police, power companies, and farmers. Privacy advocates worry that the use of drones will lead to surveillance society where Americans are monitored by the authorities. There is a legitimate concern about privacy, Midian County Sheriff Tom Miller told the Plain Dealer in his community. He says, if I'm having a barbecue in my backyard, I don't want this thing flying over it, but I sure want it up in the air if my grandson is missing. Like, the public has every right, he says, to be able to know what's going to happen with these things. But understand this, you know, you give an inch, they take a mile. You're giving up constitutional rights when you say, you know, I can be monitored. Yeah. And if you go back and listen to VFN Radio, you'll hear being said, a word of knowledge, that if we keep flying drones over other nations, they'll soon fly over us.
Mm-hmm.
And the FAA just put it in writing, 6 test sites that states submit for 6 test sites to see how these things. And understand this, that you can have a server on a drone and bring internet service to an area by having a drone just fly over that city or that region, or drop ads down and suck up the what's happening in the bandwidth in that particular area. And it is like, my goodness. You know?
All the internet went out.
Yeah, as those Duck Dynasty's dude says, he says, it's on like Donkey Kong. It's amazing how quick that that these things are being fulfilled across the board. And now we're willing, not only are we willing to be searched, frisked, and x-rayed down to the core of our bone marrow when we get on a plane, that now we're actually allowing people to fly over. I mean, Google's already been flying over with delayed data, you know, for all the world to see. And there used to be a day that the burglars would come and case a joint. Now they just actually Google it and just follow you on Facebook until you go on your vacation and start posting up pictures. Hey, I'm out here away from my home now. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, drones. So they're beginning to look at the drones now, using them in the States.
Wow. Wow. You know, it's interesting. You know, yesterday at the end of the second hour, we talked about how, and this was yesterday we reported this. Yesterday we reported that it was interesting. Interesting how Heinz ketchup was being sold to Warren Buffett's company.
Yes,
right?
Right.
And John Kerry is married to Teresa Heinz, and how, you know, Warren Buffett has close relationship with President Obama. Would you believe that today?
What?
Today.
What?
CNN Money is actually asking the question, is Buffett overpaying for Heinz?
Oh, my goodness.
This is a shrewd,
he doesn't overpay for anything.
Businessman. He don't like spending his money now, okay?
He don't even pay his secretary from what I think the reports were.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just allegedly, according to the reports you're saying about taxes.
According to the president. Yeah. This is what they're saying. Buffett's Berkshire is buying Heinz along with a Brazilian private equity firm, 3G Capital, and together the two firms are going to pay $28 billion, including the company's existing debt. Now, existing shareholders will get $72.50 a share, a 20% premium from the $60 Heinz shares has been trading just before the deal. It's like, wait a minute. This is premium, high dollar. And so it's like, what is going on here? What is going on here? Is there possibly something that, is there a deal here somewhere? Mm. We talked about this yesterday. Was there a deal? If you buy Heinz ketchup, then maybe John Kerry will accept the nomination to be the Secretary of State?
Yeah. Is it past the sniff test from the whole thing that's going on? And it's like, wow, did we just have somebody pay $28 billion for a man to become Secretary of the State to replace Hillary Clinton? I mean, just questions that we're asking. We don't know, but it's interesting that now, who's reporting that?
This is CNN Money.
Yeah, CNN Money's now reporting the same, you know, beginning to ask questions about it.
Wow. Amazing.
Amazing. Well, I am so excited as we move on all that stuff that we are back to the citizenship test for the United States of America. Yes, the original tent. We are trying to get back to the original tent, and we're finding out we're pretty far away from the original. You know, this meteor is traveling at 17,000 miles away from the Earth. I think most Americans are traveling 17,000 miles away from the Constitution.
Yeah, right.
We got to get closer. We got to have a direct hit, you know. And so here we are. Our next five questions, we're moving through the 100-question citizenship test that all people who want to become an American citizen have to take this test and pass it. Obviously, we were able to experience some significant deficits of knowledge yesterday.
Yes, like, we're here to redeem that moment.
Oh, whoa.
Civil rights.
No comment.
Right.
Martin.
We're trying to get Pat's bags unpacked so he doesn't have to self-deport here.
I love you, man.
Yeah, it was amazing. Totally amazing. And of course, how it works, I'll ask five questions. You have to give your final answer as you're thinking you'll be able to listen to. It gives you all the time to be able to think. And when the music's done, you got to be able to give your final answer. And if you get the answer right, we celebrate that all together. Yes, exactly. And if you get it wrong, like what happened yesterday with Chris, you're going to hear...
Over it. No. Over.
Yeah. It's over. Right.
I guess I won't bring up all the questions that you got on. Oh, snap.
He does speak.
It's like, boom, boom. Got a shortage going on here.
I think my percentages are higher than yours.
Okay. Okay, no.
Oh, wait.
Love keeps no records of wrongs, right?
I know.
I think overall we should be all self-exported and export ourselves from this.
We've all failed.
Export. Yeah, export.
Deport.
Deport. There we go. Like export. Isn't that like a product or something?
10,000 feet.
10,000 feet. 10,000 miles, right? That was good.
That's a winner.
Pat, you're first.
We'll file that. We'll file
yeah,
that.
Yeah. This is the easy one, though. John. No, here it is. The first question for today from the U.S. citizenship test goes to Pat. Pat, question numero uno. Getting you ready for self-deporting to Mexico. What major event happened on September the 11th, 2001, in the United States? What major event happened on September the 11th, 2001, in the United States? Okay, here it is. You sure you got this? Now we don't know. Okay, this is it. What major event? This is a question from the U.S. citizenship test that you have to pass this test to be a citizen. But if you're born here, you don't even have to know it exists. Exactly. We need to change that because we're about to lose our nation. This is the question. What major event happened on September the 11th of 2001 in the United States?
Let me see. Our Twin Towers were attacked in New York City by terrorists.
Yay! That's exactly right. We had a terrorist attack in the United States on the Pentagon and the
Twin Towers
in the heart of the financial district of New York City. That's exactly right. And that's how significant it is. It's part of our foundational questions that we ask those that come so they can understand how we define what took place right there. John. Question numero uno dos, number two, from the U.S. citizenship test. Name one American Indian tribe in the United States. Name one American Indian tribe in the United States. Here's a question. Question number two for today out of our five from the U.S. citizenship test. John, name one American Indian tribe in the United States?
One, huh? I'm going to go with, how about Seminole?
He was sweating that one.
I will tell you how I...
You got Cherokee, Navajo, Suez, right?
Sioux,
Chippewa, Chata, Apache, Creek, Blackfeet, what? Seminole. Lots of them.
Comanche.
Lots.
Crow. Yeah. No, not Manchi.
Comanche.
Oh, Comanche. Yeah, that was the first one there.
Was it?
So yeah, but think about it. That's so cool. All these different tribes that are in America. It's pretty cool. It's First Nation people. That's what we talk about. That's what we're talking about. Who was here before the white man arrived and began to explore. They call founded America.
Mm-hmm.
The land was here before.
It was already here.
Yeah, right. But the United States of America began to form, and that was found. John, Pat's about to have another question. Here it is. Question number three. Pat, from the U.S. citizenship test, name one of the two largest rivers in the United States. Name one of the two largest rivers in the United States. All right, you ready? This is going to be your final answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Question number three for today from the U.S. citizenship test to find out the original intent of this nation is name one of the two largest rivers in the United States.
Okay, just one. All right, well, just one. How about the Mississippi River?
Yeah! John, for the steal, what's the other one?
I don't want to show off, but I want Pat to spell it.
You're right.
C-O-L-O-R-A-D-A. The second one?
Oh, no, right.
No. I want you to spell
it. I was like, is that he's supposed to say? I'm like,
we all changed the subject.
Some
I you said
and there's the some I's, one. Some S's, and some P's in there. Like C-O-L-O-R-A. I'm like, what?
Okay. Talking about the second one.
Yeah, 10,000 feet. The... It's the Missouri River.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the, it's the Missouri River. Spell that
is
C-O-L-L-D-O.
Oh, how about that? Well, I got the first answer, right?
Yeah, you did. You did. You really did.
That
really
second
did.
Answer that keeps getting you.
right. Yeah, it's, you know, it's that second prophetic word like Peter gave. The first one he says, thou art the son of God. The second was, don't go to Jerusalem. The first one was Mississippi. And the second was Colorado. Okay, here we go.
Hello.
Question number next, like the second
knew.
To the last. I'm looking right at it.
No, him.
Oh, him. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, he had the chance to. He didn't name it. He didn't want to steal your thunder.
Because he didn't know.
He didn't know. John, question number next for the U.S. citizenship test. What ocean is on the west coast of the United States? What ocean is on the west coast of the United States? All right, final answer. Did you go look or
did you
something?
Google
did
that?
You go over there or something?
No,
is it forever?
No.
It's the big body of water on the left side. On the left side. What ocean from the U.S. citizenship this test?
No, we want to hear it.
What the U.S. citizenship test? What ocean is on the west coast of the United States?
I'm going to go with, for 5,000, Alex, what is Pacific?
Yeah. Amazing. It took you so long. I think you went out and just looked to see if you could find a name on it or something. Like, they need a sign on this thing. What is that? That's the Pacific. It's the Pacific. The final question for today is going to Pat Hamilton, the one who spelled Mississippi C-O-L-A-R-D-O.
All right.
I was like, locking up. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm trying to, isn't there some I's and P's?
We are live. We are live right now.
We're live. We're like, cut. Listen. The last question is going to Pat. for the U.S. citizenship test. If you don't get this right, as a person wanting to be a citizen of America, you can't be a citizen.
No.
If you're born here, obviously it doesn't really matter for a while. But I think, I'm really thinking, and this is why we're doing this, that it's going to matter so much in the future. If we don't find out what the original 10 is for our nation, we're going to lose our nation. And here's the question. The last question for today is going to Pat. Pat, from the U.S. citizenship test, what ocean is on the east coast of the United States of America? What ocean is on the east coast of the United States? You just asked, is it the Pacific, did you say?
No.
What ocean, Pat, from the last question from the U.S. citizenship today, so you do not have to self-deport from Kyrgyzstan, or to Kyrgyzstan, is what ocean is on the east coast of the United States?
And it's not eastern.
Yeah, right.
It's not. You sure? That would be the Atlantic Ocean.
Yay! Whoa! I want to encourage you that if you have not yet gone back, go to the VFN Torch and type in U.S. citizenship test and be able to listen to these. It's kind of funny, but we're really wanting to get these down inside of us so we truly can be connected with the people who are becoming citizens, that we actually know what we're actually doing in the United States. We'll be right back. Vine Fellowship Network University. It's, I just can't, it is amazing. When you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening. And it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be. And it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be. But it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path, depending on your time. And also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God, maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city. But I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out. VFNU.org. VFNU.org.
Well, I know this. I know that we talked about on. You're not going to believe this, John. I don't know if. I'm sure you heard it. That couldn't believe that as we're doing Friday's radio program, we're just talking about what's going on. We find out that Pat doesn't even know who Paula Deen is.
Get out! Are you kidding me?
Oh, I was dumbfounded. I was totally. I didn't know what to do. I was actually lost for words. I'm thinking, like, how do you describe Paula Deen?
This American cooking hero, Paula Deen?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The woman who drinks butter.
All right.
And I want to say thank you, because our listeners began to communicate with us, and they let us know, or let Pat know who she was. But also, you can go to the VFN TV blog. We actually have a clip of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the blog of her making a hamburger. She's making a hamburger, and in this hamburger,
oh my goodness,
yeah, it's amazing hamburger. You know, I couldn't imagine it. But those that don't live,
didn't they call it the heart attack?
I don't know. Could have.
I thought I heard
yes,
it somewhere.
Yes, yeah, Paul Dean's heart attack.
Oh my goodness.
I'm looking at it right now, and you have Dunkin' Donuts there, right? You have like
right,
you know, and we have, you know, Krispy Kreme and Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh.
That's why we're larger down here. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason. I like. I was talking to Cindy, by the way. This is a rabbit trail. I was talking to Cindy, and which is funny in itself. I mean, if you
yes, it
time
is.
Talking to Cindy,
it's hilarious.
And we were together in Cottonwood, and I remember she was talking about, you know, she was just giving a praise report. And she said, yes, you know, I was praying. I went to go get a donut at Krispy Kreme. And I just want to thank the Lord that when I, it didn't look like I was going to have a parking space, but I prayed for a parking space, and I just want to give a praise report. After circling the donut shop for five times, the Lord opened up a spot for me.
The Lord is good. The Lord is good.
Yeah. So it's also bad. It's called the heart attack, actually, like Pat's saying. But she takes this hamburger. You can see this video on the VFN TV blog. You get to it at VFNTV.com. But she's has a friend of hers there, and she takes she has English muffins and different things that they're going to use as a bun. But she also has some Krispy Kreme donuts there. You're thinking they're going to have donuts with something, I guess. But all of a sudden, they look at each other, and they get this evilest look in their eyes. And let's just do it. And so they reach over and they grab a donut, a Krispy Kreme donut, and put the hamburger meat on it. They put a hamburger meat on a donut.
Oh my goodness.
Hamburger patty.
Patty.
Yeah.
Cooked.
Yeah.
Gotta make sure. And then they put egg on it.
Fried egg.
Mm-hmm. And then bacon. Mm-hmm. And then another donut on top of that.
Where is this?
Paula Deen, the heart attack, I guess it's called. They ate it, you know, and they're thinking, like, they're having kind of thoughts about it. And her friend bites it. It's obviously two donuts, a hamburger, is a big bite. But she takes it, by the way. It's amazing. I'm like, whoa. And so she takes a bite, and she looks at her like, man, this stuff is good. And then Paula took a bite. You got to find out who she is. She's very funny. I had a chance to see some of her things when I was in Savannah, and that's what actually brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty amazing. So Pat didn't know, but he knows who she is now.
Now I know.
Yeah, it's at.
Don't you forget, man. Jeez,
it's probably good not to know. I mean, she's sweet. It's good to know that she don't cook. She cooks. You don't know that part.
Yeah,
she puts two sticks of butter in this, a big old thing of that, and she just talks.
That's what makes it so good.
She talks and I gain weight. I think I don't know what it is.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. You know, I'm just looking at the words of Jesus. You know, we're really trying to focus on the Gospels and the words of Jesus and, you know, getting back to the original intent of our Creator for us. And I'm looking at, you know, Matthew chapter 11. He's talking here about cities. He's talking about cities. Jesus says, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles have been performed because they did not repent. You think about it, that what's, you know, what some of the things we're talking about in the first hour, and also I believe first part of this extra hour is, you know, people are being presented the gospel, and they say, well, you know, I love this Jesus. Yes, I want to be saved. But nobody teaches them about repentance. Nobody teaches them the word of God, because repentance is leaving our life of sin, learning the new way of living and walking in it, the commands of Jesus. And so how can I repent if I don't even know, you know, how can I know that I'm speeding if you hadn't taught me that there's speed limit signs and put signs up?
Mm-hmm.
How can I know I'm sinning if you have not taught me the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know that I'm sinning, how can I tell you that I've repented? You know, so I really believe that the fullness. And so Jesus is talking here. He was not rebuking these cities because, you know, they didn't not talk about Jesus and that miracles and ministry didn't happen there. It happened there. But he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that have been performed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon than for you on the day of judgment. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, which is Sodom and Gomorrah, it would have remained to this particular day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on that day than for you. And, and so much today, everybody talks about, you know, that's like Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's going, listen, my expectations are higher for you than Sodom. Because if they would have had what you had today, with the blessing that you're living in today, and the provision and the miracles and all the things that have happened in your generation, they would not have served the devil.
That's right.
They would have served God. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so here are these guys. They're not Sodom and Gomorrah. There's somebody who didn't respond to God and repent. Didn't repent. That was what it was. And it's like, bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. The axe is already laid at the root. And repentance mm-hmm. means that we're going to have a life that has fruit in it. We're going to have a life that has fruit in it. And when you think about that, you start thinking about, well, then if we're being religious, but we're not repenting, and all this ministry is going on in the context of it, then we could say we're sort of like fruitless wonders, you know, fruitless wonders. And Jesus said in Matthew 21:43, he said, therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. I mean, think about that. That's just like wrecks a lot of doctrine out there that's being taught. This is the word. That's why we're going back to the words of Jesus. We want to find out what's going on. And John says in Matthew 3:8, he says, listen, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Well, my goodness, if I haven't repented, then I'm not going to have the fruit of repentance. Mm. And he says, produce fruit. He says, listen, in verse 10 of that same chapter, he says, an axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So it wasn't the fact that you're not a tree. Yeah, you're a tree, but you got to, being a good tree means you actually produce.
That's right.
And so we can be, a lot of ministry, a lot of things can be happening. People can be getting healed and just, you know, religious things going on and not necessarily wrong things. I mean, but Jesus was obviously delivering the perfect gospel. I mean, he is the perfect gospel, but yet they responded to it in a religious way. You know, Romans 11:17-23, we find out actually the verse 21, he lets us know, he says, don't be arrogant, because if he didn't spare the natural branches, he won't spare you either. And he goes on to verse 22, the latter part, he says, you can be cut off. Mm. You can be cut off. And he says very specifically that there's something, if we truly are walking with God, if we are like Tyre or Sidon or Sidon, or if we're like Capernaum and we're hearing this right gospel to us, presented to us, we have a responsibility to repent, to hear what Jesus is saying to us and say, yes, I want to make him the Lord of my life and make him the Lord of my life and learn his ways and begin to follow in him. And the thing about this too, Jesus says very specifically in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. See, this fruit is important. We could be fruitless wonders. Mm-hmm. He said, but apart from me, you're a fruitless wonder. But apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
So over and over again, we just hear it's being reiterated. And we discover that Jesus is expecting from us what we can't even do ourselves outside of a personal relationship with him. We have to be fruitful, but we can only be fruitful if we abide with him, if we remain in him. And we talk about that at iabide.org. That's why we talk about abiding, because you're not going to be able to do what we're talking about and what Jesus is talking about unless Jesus empowers you to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And it can be really confusing. Fruitless wonders can be really confusing. But I was wrong. What was Jim Baker wrote the book, I Was Wrong, and he dealt with lots of fruitless wonders. They come in one after the other. They preached good messages. They prophesied, sang good songs. People were healed and these gifts were working. And he was sitting and have a dinner with them and eat with them. And they were totally bad fruit. And there were things that come out of their mouth. It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And so he just thought, well, I guess it doesn't matter. And he began to measure them by their gifts instead of by their fruit.
Right.
And this is so, so very important, because, you know, the question is, fruit is not our gifts. We got to understand that. That fruit is not our gifts. In Romans 11:29, we find out that God's gifts and his calls are given without repentance, or they're irrevocable. But also we find out when Jesus tells us in Matthew 22:14, that for many are called or invited, but few are chosen. So just because you got a call, just because you got a gift, don't mean you're chosen. It's actually when you make that choice to be able to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you see what's happening in the context of fruitless wonders, is it matters who they are when they're alone. It matters who they are because, you know, we've seen a lot of things where you have on the public scene where they're professing these different things, but behind the scenes, they're just beating the heck out of you with their, mm-hmm. with their things and their stuff. And it's just like, really? You know, and you think, what meanest thou this? And the truth is, it's like, you're known by your fruit. And Matthew 7:15-23 lets us know, and Jesus says it in verse 19, he says, every tree that does not bear good fruit, every tree that does not bear good fruit, and that's every, by the way, every tree, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. You think about that. And so if we get this gift thing mixed up and call thing mixed up with fruit, you know, we'll be like the people that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7:21. He says, as he's beginning to talk, he says, not everyone. But think about that right off the front. Not everyone. And you just want it. You just really want, you know what I'm saying? It's like, look how religious we are. I'm sure everyone knows Jesus here. We're all in the house of the Lord today, right? I mean, right, you want to say that, right? You just want to. But the truth is, Jesus said in the red letters, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not only do they actually hang around Jesus, but they even call him Lord, Lord, you know? Mm-hmm. And he says, only he who does the will of my Father. You see, fruit has to do with obedience that can only come out of the empowerment that you get from your actually truly knowing and hanging out with Jesus. We'll talk more about that. And he says, this is the only ones that's really going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he says right here, he says, who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, and he's talking about the day when it's all over, the choice is already been made. And they'll say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? And I'm like, you know, if I hear one more prophetic word by somebody that treats you like junk, you know, when it's over with, it's like, it's important if they treated you like junk, but they gave a word, even if it was accurate, take the word for being accurate, but don't take their relationship with God.
That's right.
Of being accurate, because you know them by the fruit. He says,
separate the gift from the character.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like, no, sit back down. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons. What does that mean? People are demon possessed and you come against this, the satanic round, Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestled against and the authority in Jesus' name. And you tell the devil to go. And because there's power in Jesus' name, the devil goes.
Power in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Like you keep, there's power in the name of Jesus. And then there, when you go and speak to the spiritual realm, that Ephesians 6:12 talks about, and you bind them in the name of Jesus and you drive the devil out. And in that context of that, he goes out. It's because there's power in the name of Jesus. And in that, the devil goes. And then he says, and performs many miracles. I mean, these are miracles where all of a sudden, you know, they prayed for rain in the name of Jesus and rain came down, or they laid hands on the sick and the sick recovered, and these different things. He says, but then Jesus said, this is what Jesus is saying. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. See, you get to know Jesus when you abide with him. That's what we're always talking about. iabide.org. We don't want you confused with the fact of thinking because you got a gift and you got a call that you're not going to be here at this encounter that Jesus is talking about right here. Because you don't want to be preaching a kingdom to others that you yourself are not going to enter in. That's what they're saying. That's what he's saying. And then he says, away from me, you evildoer. See, these men and women became religious, but they didn't become relational. Either they never made Jesus the Lord of their life, or at some point they left their relationship with Jesus and just stayed religious. They identified themselves by what they do. We call that hoodoo. By their gift. It doesn't mean their gift was not accurate. It just means you're not what you do. You are who you are in with Jesus in your abiding relationship with him. And understanding that they never abided or stopped abiding with God. Sort of like Saul and David. You know, David sought the Lord, Saul didn't. Both of them had the same prophetic word over them. But there was a day that God said, I regretted the day that I ever made Saul king. What did David do? He inquired of the Lord. So what is good fruit? I mean, what is good fruit? We're specifically told what good fruit is in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean, that, think about that. That alone, because God is love. Mm-hmm. If there's no love there, if there's no love there, there's no God there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's like, why do you bite me every time I'm around you? What's got a hold of you? It ain't God, because I ain't, you're feeling the love. You know what I'm talking about? You're feeling the love. And you think about all those religious folks that was around Jesus, God, Emmanuel, mm-hmm. were being very religious around God, love himself. They're being religious around him, but they didn't know God. They even called God Satan. They called Jesus Satan. Mm-hmm. So this is a possible paradigm that can happen. But he says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But just think about love. You think about how important that is, because if we don't have love, we don't have God.
That's right.
You know, you don't, and it's like the love of the body, you know, the love of the church, love of many, excuse me, the love of many will grow cold in the last days because of great lawlessness that's in the land. And so when we're thinking about love, that if and what they did, what, you know, Jim Baker did, he saw these ministry take place, these gifts take place, and he sat with them around the table, and there was no love. There was no love. And sad to say, and that happens quite a bit in the body. It happens quite a bit where Paul says, I've warned you day and night that wolves are coming from come into your number, even come from among your number.
And, for 3 years, right?
Yeah, with tears, never stopped warning. And gifts are just so mesmerizing. It's always been an issue in the church where people begin to worship gifts instead of worship God. But so love is so important that without it, our gifts are worthless and meaningless if we don't have love. And you think about love. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13 when he says, actually, verse 31 of 12, he starts, but eagerly desire the greatest gifts. Mm. And then he says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. Mm-hmm. We've had some encounters like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kong, kong. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, John, I mean, talking about moving mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. This just puts a fear of God in a lot of us, because it's easy to kick in to be religious, but when people are around you, it's raunchous. You know what I'm saying? And you can only be moving in love through the empowerment we're going to talk about of spending time with love himself. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. What is he saying? You can be as religious as you want to, but if you don't have love, it's totally meaningless. Even if people get saved by the kingdom message, it doesn't mean that person who's delivering it is going to enter in. Mm. Does it not?
That's right.
That's right.
And so love is produced, because remember he says, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Love is produced in our lives when we abide with love himself, Jesus. We're not going to be, it's contagious. You spend time with love, Jesus. We abide with him, right? I mean, he says very specifically, and synonymous with love, it's obedience. It's obedience in love, loving obedience. Because he tells us in John 14, 15, Jesus plainly says, if you love me, if you really love me, right? Mm-hmm. If you love me, you will obey me. In verse 21, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them. Remember, if I've never seen a speed limit sign, if I'm part of the 82% that don't even read the Bible, if I don't even know what sin is, right? Mm-hmm. He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Obedience and love, synonymous. Verse 23 through 24. If anyone, there it goes again, everyone, anyone, all of them bubbies, right? If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching.
Wow.
This, I mean, think about how many fruitless wonders today that you bump into, and it's like, you're shutting me down when we're talking about the teachings of Jesus, but yet you're wanting to sing, you're wanting to prophesy. You're wanting, you know, you're not living your marriage the way God says to live a marriage, but yet you want to go teach people how to be married. You know, I was like, what? And the thing is that we can go back and say, wait a minute, fruitless wonder.
That's right.
Fruitless wonder. And you know how to minister to them. Right. You say, you know, set your little prophet self down for a moment. I know you just cast the devil out, but we're going to get the
fruit
devil.
First.
We're going to get the devil off of you first. We should do anymore.
Fruit first.
Ministry second.
Right?
Remember that? Fruit first. Yeah. Ministry second. I'm not your son. Okay, the who does not, this is what he says, let me do it again. If anyone loves me, he will obey, this is Jesus, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. There's a lot of people right now that need to be taught that in the church, people who profess to be Christians, they need to be taught how to love God. Because, you know, many people said, yeah, love God, give. And they talk about some good thing going on. Or, you know, if you help us build the wing on, that's loving God. We'll put a plaque up with your name on it. And these different things. And the truth is that it's actually obeying him. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. That's love for God. And he says, and this goes on to say, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Listen, what I just told you and what Jesus told us, that's what God said. That's what God said. So you can listen to religious folk all day long, and there's lots of them. Jesus was talking to them when he was talking about what happened in Sidon and Capernaum and all. But it's the people who you just feel, I think about, you know, some other acquaintances and people that we have that is like, my goodness, you just want to be around them because they got love.
Yeah.
You just want to kind of like get up under their arm and hang around. You're like, well, I'm just hanging around love for a while. I'll be out there in a minute. I'm just going to hang out for a while. You just feel God in their life. You just feel that empowerment. And how to remain fruitful and to remain in God's love. He goes on to tell us in verse 15. He tells us very specifically in 19. He says, chapter 15, verse 19. He says, as the Father has loved me. This is Jesus saying, so have I loved you. Now, it's about right this moment, now remain or abide in my love. If you obey my commands, because remember he said in Matthew 28, go make disciples of the nations, teach them to obey my commands. And he says right here, he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Oh my goodness. Just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remained in his love. Obedience is how we remain. We hear what he says, but we don't go, well, that was cool. I'm going to do what I want to do. We hear what he says, and we actually do what he says. It makes me think of the man who had the vision or the dream, and he's standing before the throne of God, and he's had this lifelong ministry, and he's talking, you know, I did this. And God's just looking at him and like looking through him and looking around him. And finally, the guy gets really uncomfortable and he says, what? After he's cranked off all these lists of accomplishments. And he says, I'm just trying to see how much of my son I see in you.
Wow.
You see, it's about us decreasing and Jesus increasing. It's about us becoming Christ-like. It's not about Jesus becoming us like. It's us becoming like him. And when you think about it, so what does love look like? Well, he goes on to tell us in verse 13 what it looks like. Chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians in verse 4, he says, listen, love is patient, enduring hardship and delay and difficulty without complaining. This is why we say you got to abide. I cannot do that without having a personal relationship with God.
That's right.
And if I start lacking in that area, I got to spend more time with God. I get really bad to take a sabbatical because I got to get right in my heart with God. But love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. We got Christians that have businesses named Envy.
You know, oh, Jesus.
It's just like, what? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Think about it. Mm. Like, remember how Chris and Pat were talking about
this? It's kind of like that, kind of right. Going back and forth.
It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love never fails. Mm. It never fails. And you think about that, then it's like, I can't do that, God. I mean, I can do it for a little bit, but all of them at the same time. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And he says, you can't do it apart from abiding with me. You can't do it. I'll actually empower you to be patient. I'll empower you and give you grace to be kind when everything inside of you wouldn't be kind. But all of a sudden it's like, I don't know where that kindness came. Well, I do know where that kindness came from because it didn't come from me.
That's right.
You know, it'll help you not envy, empower you not to boast and not to be proud. And, you know, it's this hanging out with Jesus. He calls us to do something we can't do outside of a personal abiding relationship with him. What? In all of this, yet we're powerless to love unless we abide with love himself. John 15:6, this is what he says. Jesus says this, if anyone does not abide or remain in me, he is like a branch. Just like John the Baptist said, just like Jesus said earlier, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Oh. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Just like Paul talked about in Romans chapter 11, branches being cut off. Fruitless branches. Fruitless wonders. John 15:8-16 very specifically talks about this. Says, listen, this is Jesus saying this. This is the red letters gospel. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit.
Much.
Much fruit. And we just found out it's not your prophecy. It's not miracles and signs and wonders. It's how you're treating folk. Mm-hmm. You know, what's in your heart when you're doing it? And he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. You see, that's our identification card. We got fruit. And that is our identification card. When we're bearing fruit, we're fruit. We're actually, these fruits of the Spirit are coming out of us towards other people. Somebody says, he's been with God. She's been with God. Mm-hmm. Because they can feel the fruit of the Spirit coming off of it. And then he goes on and says this. He says, listen, you didn't choose me. Jesus is saying this. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go. Bear fruit. I mean, there it is again. Mm. And fruit that lasts, which means there's some fruit that don't last. Fruit is what we do for or to others and adjoin with the motives in our heart of why we did it. Whether it's good or bad determines on why we did it and who we did it for. Good fruit is us being empowered through our abiding relationship with the Lord to obey his commands to us in regards to others because we love him and we love them. An example of a bad fruit is doing something for someone for personal gain, recognition, power, but not out of love for God and love for the others or out of obedience to God. So God empowers us. What did he tell us? He told us the axe is already laid at the root. Bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. What did he say to Sidon and Capernaum? He says, listen, Sodom would have repented a long time ago if what's done in you, what has been done in them. It's going to be worse for you on the end because you didn't repent. And it's not just repenting. It's not just saying a prayer. You're going to have to be fruitful. You can't be a fruitful wonder. And there's so many fruitful wonders. It gets really confusing. You got to pause and abide and say, okay, wait a minute. I know I see this being said, but I see this being done. God, help me with this. And you go, okay, I know how to minister to this person. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. It's a sign of the last days. Fruitless wonders. Matthew 21:43, and I'm just closing out right here just so you can just get this thing. We're just going to bring a ton in here. But think about it. Jesus says this, This is what I started with. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whom it falls will be crushed. Listen, if we give our lives to Jesus and his commands, it'll break us to pieces. It'll humble us. But remember this, it's in broken soil. It's in broken up soil. It's in the brokenness of the soil that the harvest comes, that the seed gets sown, that the water comes, and the fruit comes. Fruitless wonders. You know them by their fruit, not by their wonders.
Wow. Well, you know, it's time. It's time right now to go into the top three on the VFN Torch, the top three. We're so excited to be sharing the top three every single day with you as often as we can, because we have so many highlights. We have so many highlights that are on the torch that sometimes they can get lost. And so we want to pull some of these out so that you can benefit from hearing them and sharing them with your friends. The first one I want to share with you is who can discern his errors. Who can discern his errors? That was a powerful segment because that's important. It's important. In Psalms 19, 12 through 13, it speaks, who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. And we can have errors. We can have hidden faults. And that's why we continually stress the importance and the blessing of having an abiding relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It's in that time that we spend with the Lord that God can reveal his ways and he can reveal our ways to us.
Yes, he does. That's a woodshed moment to say, how can you? It's true. I don't want to interrupt you. Yeah, that's why we abide. He just brings correction in our life because he loves us.
Yeah, I mean, we can get a wrong perception of the Holy Spirit with conviction. I mean, listen, conviction is a good thing. It lets you know when you're doing wrong. You know, can you imagine putting your hand on the stove and not feeling, you know, a heat, a burnt? You know what I mean?
Right.
You lose your whole hand.
Right.
We want to know. We also talk about the importance of the church functioning as family. You know, together, abiding with God's word and being rightly related amongst brothers and sisters and those that God has placed in authority in our life, we can begin to discern errors. We can find hidden faults, and God can reveal these things to us. The other highlight I want to share with you today is called the power of vision, the power of vision. And in this highlight, Proverbs 29:18 says that without vision, the people perish. And vision is so, so important. They just simply cast off restraint. And what vision does in our lives, it gives us clarity and it gives us purpose. I mean, look what's missing in this generation. We have a young generation right now that they're missing purpose. They're missing clarity because they have no vision. And vision helps you to see. It helps you to move past blinded circumstances that you have in your life. And it also gives meaning to life's struggles. It helps you to be decisive. It helps you to make clear choices without second guessing. For if it doesn't quit, we said, you must quit. If you don't know, if it doesn't fit your vision, then you don't have time for it. You don't. But if you don't have a vision, you're aimlessly going through life, arriving to a destination by accident and not arriving to a destination on purpose. And the last one we want to share with you on the top three of the VFN Torch is why are you hating on me? And in this moment of wisdom, Proverbs 29:10 says that bloodthirsty men hate a man of integrity and seek to kill the upright. You know, sometimes it's frustrating when you're going through a situation and you don't understand, why is this happening to me? Well, as a believer, you know, we're called not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices, and we need to know that sometimes people are just attacking us because we're doing the right thing.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.